And it was getting worse and worse by that time. And on the other side of this river, there were a group of soldiers from that little island. And that group of soldiers were there to quell the people from reacting too violently. They were there to put down any resistance, because there was an awful lot of resistance. You know, Victor Hugo in Les Miserables once said that there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And he suggested that when the time has come to change something, whether it's in your life, and whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your business, when the time has come, it's an idea. It isn't that it's a timing thing. It's an idea. It's an inner kind of invisible thing called an idea. And when it shows up in your life, there's nothing more powerful than that. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's like that inner candle flame. It becomes a burning desire, and you have to act upon it, or you will slowly die. You'll stop functioning the way you want to function in your life. And a shot was fired that day on the 19th of April, 1775. And a soldier on the other side of the river fell dead. And there was a man who was one of those farmers who was there with those people. His name was William Emerson. And he was the pastor at the first parish in Concord at that time. And that was the beginning of the American Revolution and the French Revolution. But more than that, it was the beginning of the way we began to treat people. Because we then, after this war, we created something called a constitution, which was giving the rights of men and women, such as us here today, listening freely to me talk about these things. I couldn't have given this talk in 1775 without having it approved first by the authorities. And we don't have to do that anymore. And in that constitution, it made it really clear that the rights of man originated in spiritual principles, from the divine rights of their creator. That the idea that people are created equal, and the idea that we all have equal rights, was not anything that existed on this side of the pond. It didn't exist on the other side of the big pond either, the Atlantic Ocean either. This was a new and radical idea, even though we've taken it for granted. All right. And then in the same constitution, just a few lines later, they made it really clear that every man shall be free from the establishment of a religion. So that there was something that was laid out that said, we have our rights come to us from spiritual principles, yet we are free from having a religion imposed upon us, because spirituality unites, whereas religion divides. And divides in the sense of excludes some and excludes others and so on. And this was not to be, so that there's no place in the Constitution which says that there shall be separation of God and state. Someone left me a letter on an envelope one day at a talk that said, "Dear God," question to God, "why did you allow all of those children in that school in Colorado to be killed?" And the answer from God said, "Didn't you know I'm not allowed in schools anymore?" And I thought it was just an interesting kind of the idea that somehow we can't have spirituality, we can't have God, we can't have higher consciousness principles in our schools and teach them and practice them and make them a part of our life, because we associate that with religion, has been one of the real miscalculations, I think, and misinterpretations of in our society. And I'll talk more about that a bit later as well.